One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bring on in the sheaves, yes, bring on in some sheaves. You can come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I believe that's one of the secrets of being happy. A newspaper man said to me the other day, said, "You seem mighty happy." He said, "I wish you'd tell me the secret." I said, "I'd be glad to." And I did. I just told him it's Jesus. I told him, I said, "I met Jesus. I had a personal encounter with him, and he took my sins away and saved my soul, and then gave me a fishing pole and told me to go get somebody else." And that's been the joy of living for him. And I'd like to remind you that you're not doing what you ought to do if you're not busy bringing in the sheaves. And may I say this, not to be selfish, I've got the opportunity to talk, to pray, to preach to the multitudes. And so together, if you'll help me, I'll give you witness. I can't give your witness all of it, but I can give a witness. And it doesn't cost anything to be saved, but it costs something to pipe the water, see? The water's free. The gospel's free. But we sure got to lay the pipes. And we got them strung all over this country through the air. We've got overhead irrigation, if you please. And we're just going to have to get the water out to the people. And the way to do it is for you to pray and give, and for me to preach and give. People say, "Well, what do you think about giving to the church?" Well, I think any church that's doing the real job is worthy of your gifts. A church that's not getting people saved doesn't deserve a penny. Not a penny. Ought to go busted. Ought to go close its doors. Or to go out of business if it's not interested in winning people to Christ. Not enough just for a bunch of little old dried up saints to go down to the church and say, "Well, we're holding on nothing." I tell you, we ought to not only hold on, we ought to take some of the devils on and win the people to Christ. Have your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. I want to give a warning to the young men today. We're living in perilous times. My son, that's right, some of the boys, kind of get the habit. I've been called dad or pop by many a boy. It's been a joy to be the pop or the dad. I never had any boys of my own. I have two son-in-laws that I love dearly, David and Clinton. And then I have three little grandsons, Clinton Jr. and little Clint, we call him. And he's getting to be a big boy, soon be 10. And then we have little Chris and little Ken. Then we have those two little bundles of whipped cream, and two little granddaughters, Janine and Susanna, and they're mighty sweet and fine, but they'll only stay that way as their parents read the Bible and pray with them and tell them about Jesus. Nobody stays sweet, or nobody gets sweet apart from the sweetener, and that's Jesus. And if you want to be sweet, you stay with the sweetest name I know, and you keep in touch with Jesus. He'll keep you sweet. But boys, if you'd let me be your pop for a minute, I'd appreciate it. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. That's the best advice I ever gave a young man right there. Keep the word of God and live. You won't live without the word of God. There's no way to live without the word of God. The words that I speak unto thee, they're spirit and life. And I've been impressed by two verses. One that I read on the broadcast that said, "This is the blood." And the other one is, "This is the book." And I think one other, "This is the blessed hope." Now, those three things are so vital. The book, the blood, the blessed hope. But he said, "I want you to keep my commandments and live." Now, let me read, and I want you to notice some verses. They're going to be very plain now about one of the temptations that young men have. "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them on the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." Now, I wonder who that is. He said, "I looked through the window, kind of peeped out, and I saw a young man out there that was void of understanding." That means he didn't have any understanding. Now, what kind of fellow is that in him? Well, he's passing through the street. He's a boy of the street. Near her corner, that's near a wicked woman's corner. Now let me read the rest of it. "And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her own house. Now is she without, now in the streets. Lieth in wait at every corner." Sound like a gadabout, doesn't she? "So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." I've read to you 27 verses, the 7th chapter of Proverbs, with wonderful advice to young and old men. No matter who you are, if you're a man, he's talking to you. May we pray. Our Father, we've read from thy word. It's wise and right. We praise thee for it and thank thee, dear Lord, that you never told us anything but what is good for us. We pray that we may walk in the way of warning. We may heed the admonition. Help us, Lord, to know that there's no flesh that can satisfy. And we're not to make provisions for the flesh, but we're not to walk in the flesh, fulfilling the lust thereof, but to walk in the Spirit. Lord, bless the young men today, and bless all the men everywhere, and strengthen us, and help women to be careful that they'll not be a snare. They'll not be women of the street, gadding about, talking, misleading others. Help us to be faithful, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess I've never preached on this chapter before in my life, but I want you to notice, he said, "Son, I want you to keep my words and lay them up. I want you to keep my commandments and live. Let them be the apple of your eye. I want to bind them on your fingers and write them on the table of thine heart. Indelibly impress them upon your soul. and say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. That's right. What is it? The word of God will keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Notice, he said, I looked out and I saw a simple young man. That is, he was pretty dumb. Yes, he didn't have any understanding. He was void of understanding. Where did you see him? Well, he was walking down the street. Could have been working in the yard, but he wasn't. He's walking down the street. Near her corner. Notice, he's going in the wrong direction. He's going down to the corner where there's a harlot. There's a sinful woman. And he went the way to her house. When did he go? Well, it was getting late in the evening, twilight. And then evening. And then it was black and dark. And so he crawled through the shadows because he was ashamed. This woman, what kind of woman was she? Well, she had on the clothes of a harlot. No doubt painted and fixed up. You know, really, I don't understand how sweet, precious Christian women have dared and gotten bold enough to dress like women with the attire of a harlot. I tell you, God's women ought to be clean and pure. They ought to look like that. They ought not to have on all the stuff that the world wears. And then said she's loud, big, stubborn, loud-mouthed sort of a person. Her feet, they do not abide in her house. She's not there fixing up the house. She's out walking the street, gossiping, talking, joking, laughing, tempting. There she goes. Well, we still got some of them in the world today, don't we? So she caught him, this young man. Who is this young man? He's a man void of understanding. He's simple. He's dumb. She caught him. She kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. I'm thinking now, I guess, of the first mean, impure woman I ever knew in my life as a pastor. She was a wicked woman. She did exactly what this woman did. She caught little boys. That's right. Young boys. And they'd come to her house. Her husband was gone, just like this woman said her husband was gone. Oh, he's gone on a long journey. And he took a whole bucket of money with him, and so he won't be back. And so she was untrue and unfaithful. But this woman lived like that, and I never shall forget when she died. I'd witnessed to her. I didn't go in the house, but I witnessed standing in the yard there at the outside of the fence, and she was there on the porch, and I told her about Jesus. I told her that he loved her. Everybody knew that she was a sinful woman. But she needed Jesus. We prayed for her, but she died early, and her husband called me, never shall forget. That's the first time, I guess, I ever had enough courage. And I tell you, dear friends, you can really lose friends at a funeral service in a hurry. That's the reason I care nothing about preaching a funeral service unless the person is really a dedicated Christian, because if you tell the truth, then somebody's going to get offended. And we want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality. And we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself. I mean, if that old sinner, wicked and wild, drank and smoked and gambled with that old supposed to be Christian, and if that preacher got him in, I'll sure get in. Well, dear friends, may I remind you that it's not the preacher's business or prerogative or within his power or authority to get anybody in. Because when a man dies, I mean, that's it. I mean, he'll stand before the Lord and give an account to the Lord for his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we had the funeral. Never shall forget what the husband said. He said, she made three requests before she died. She said she wanted you to be the preacher because you'd know what to say. If you couldn't come, don't let any preacher come. Second, get a certain man, and I could call his name, but I won't, to be my undertaker. Third, don't open the casket. I want nobody to see my face again. Yes, she was depraved. She was sinful. And so I went to the funeral service, and I preached on the text, the wages of sin is death. Now remember, she's a relatively young woman. Already her daughter has started off in sin. You'd say, preacher, that was a horrible thing for you to do. It might have been, but God blessed it. And I remember the next time we went there to preach, which was the same week, I saw her daughter come to Christ. And I saw another young lady come to Christ and repent of their sin and say, we don't want to live like some people that we've seen live. Oh, listen, already started down that road of sin, but they turned around. I believe God blessed it. Preachers, we have no right to mislead people at a funeral service. We ought to preach the truth. We ought to tell the people that the only hope anybody will ever have to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's this simple young man. He's being told away by a wicked woman. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, notice the picture, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And this is the picture. He goeth after her straightway as an ox. The dumbest thing around the barnyard is an ox. Just like an ox going to the slaughter. Well, he didn't know it. The boy didn't know it. The young man didn't know it. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Just like a fool being led out to the old stocks to be locked up. Have his ankles and arms run through the old stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasted to the snare. I want to give you a suggestion. I believe that when you get into sin, I mean when you walk off into the world, I believe you've sent a dart through your liver. I mean by that, you never live right. You never live well. And you know, your liver is what purifies the food that comes in. Your purifying system is ruined. When filth comes in, I mean, you can't cover up sin. I mean, it's got to be reckoned with by Jesus Christ. It'll take the blood of Jesus to straighten out the sin problem. Oh, she's cast many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. Yes, if I could put it lovingly, I don't mean to be cheap now with it. Woman, trouble has killed many, 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 many men and boys that were cheap and ugly and unfaithful, and you thought you could live loose and fast, and you thought you could disobey God, and you thought you could just have your fling, and you just said, well, most other people do it, and after all, no. I'd like to warn you today, dear friend, that Jesus is the only one that can forgive your sin. I know that all of us are made alike, and the lust of your father, you will do. If you belong to the devil, you can't keep from it. But those of us that are Christians, we ought to hate the very garment that's been stained and spotted. And we ought to be pure. The Bible said we ought to be clean because he's clean. We ought to be pure because he's pure. I read yesterday where he said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now then you'd say, Brother Olaf, what if I've committed adultery? What if I've gone off into sin? Is there any hope for me? Yes. Just like there was hope for David, there's hope for you. Just like there's been hope for impure sinners through the years and ages, there's hope for you. And if you'll come and confess your sin and then forsake your sin, it didn't look like anybody would be willing to forsake that kind of sin, because sin never satisfies. I mean, nobody, you take people that live in sin, they're the most miserable people on earth. The people that get married the most are the most miserable people. People that have had the most wives are the most unhappy people. One's enough. One's enough. And so I've sought to warn you today, as your friend, urging you, don't be dumb. Don't be simple. Don't go in the way of a wicked woman. You go to Jesus. Trust in him. Live pure and clean. I know even the psychiatrists and psychologists, stupid as they are, say that we're not to restrain the flesh. Just let her have her way. No. That'll wreck any nation, tear up any home, and it'll ruin our children. We're to put our faith in Christ, and we're not to play loose with moral laws. We're to be clean, and God's the only one that can make it. David said, oh, as he wept and prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Give me back my pure heart, Lord. Oh, give me back the pure heart. Only God can make a pure heart. Only God can cleanse your heart, and your strength will be as the strength of 10, because your heart is pure. Yes, The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. But when people live in sin, the joy is gone. David's joy was gone. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then he said, I'll go back to work for the Lord and teach transgressors thy ways, and then sinners will be converted unto thee. Oh, I wish you'd memorize Psalm 51. It's been a great blessing and help to me. I tell you, I know of no chapter in the Bible that's so filled with warm pleas for forgiveness and cleansing as the 51st Psalm. But I'd like to say, if you've sinned, some of you women are nervous, upset, disturbed. Some of you men have slipped around, gone out on some parties, gone into other cities, but God was there before you got there. I'd suggest to you today that you turn from your sin. You ask Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you. Purge you with hyssop, you'll be clean. Wash you, you'll be whiter than snow. Yes, you remember the old song, it's sweet, isn't it? Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now then, we're going to pray again. I've sought not to be cheap today, but to be plain, and warn you that any time you go down the road to a wicked house, you're very dumb and stupid and very simple, the Bible says. Now then, the answer one more time. Son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law, the word, is the apple of thine eye. Bind them on thy fingers. Write them on the table of thine heart. If you do that, God will give you the victory. Because this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you get your faith out of the word of God. Are you ready to pray? Will you ask God to forgive you? Not just confess it. Now, are you willing to forsake that unholy alliance, that sin that you've been committing? You know, I know some of you think you've gotten used to it, and there's nothing, but it's still sin. You're going to give an account to God. You better get another blood quick as you can, and that's right now. We'll pray. Our Father, we wish we didn't have to even warn people. But we know as long as the flesh comes to the top, and as long as people stray from the word and become simple and stupid and dumb, they need to be warned that the wages of sin, still death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, we thank thee for thy word. It warns us and strengthens us and cleanses us and gives us power to go on. Oh, thank you for protecting us through all the years. How sweet and precious you've been. To the Lord be all the glory today. Thank you for praying friends that have undergirded us and helped us along the trail. We praise thee and thank thee that you've been so faithful. Now bless our people that are living in sin. May they today confess it, forsake it, and then give them the joy and the peace. Restore the joy of thy salvation to those that have lost it. Make them happy again. Lord, if some of them have played fast and loose, even with a television set or newspaper or magazine, Lord, if we've looked when we ought to have been closing our eyes, if we've listened when we ought to have stopped up our ears, forgive us and cleanse us and purge us and help us to live for you. We thank thee for the message. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been blessed, write us a letter and then tell somebody else to tune in when we come again. It could be the means of you winning somebody to Christ. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and a woman came up and said, Brother Olaf, your radio ministry led me to Christ. The next woman said, yes, and I'm your grandchild because she won me to Christ. A man came up next and said, I'm your great-grandchild because that's my wife and she won me to the Lord. Three in one place, having been one to Christ. Can't you see that when you help us stay on the radio and share with us that you'll get to enter into the harvest and the reaping and the rewarding one of these days? Yes, I really believe that. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you sweet peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.